Welcome everyone to the second annual International Astrology Day, All Day Astro Cafe. And the reason we are calling this the Astro Cafe is because this is a day-long sip your tea, sip your coffee. When it gets to evening, it might even be sip your wine. And join us for a conversation, a set of conversations about astrology on a multitude of topics by a multitude of and I think we even just, did I hear a cat?
We have the animal kingdom.
We have people attending today, and we even have our pets. So
even if you are a cat, you may feel free to join in the conversation.
And I am Enid Newberg. I have been with Kepler College in one way or another since 1993 and president since 2007. And that actually is not one of my animals. It's actually my son's rat. But I like that picture, so that's what I use.
Cats and rats and astrologers.
Cats and rats and astrologers. We are ready for the day. And the other voice you just heard is Donna Woodwill. She's another one of our hosts. She teaches at Kepler and has helped us with our marketing. She also is a host of the Dead Astrologers Society on the Internet and served on a number of boards. And you know what I have discovered right now is when you do a PowerPoint on Windows 7 and then you bring it to Windows 8, they don't look the same. Well, we'll fix that throughout today here. And we also have Karen McCauley, the third voice you'll be hearing through the day as a host. Karen has been with Kepler for a long time, and she is also our director of the certificate program. She's a counselor, educator, researcher, writer, editor. She's probably anybody who's been in the astrological community has encountered her because she has worked for over 30 years in the community. She's an AFAN advisor and the executive director of Continuum, which is that was from the Jim Lewis Astrocartography, yes?
Right.
Right.
And she's a Sag.
And she's a Sag. We have
the best sign.
Yeah, I'm feeling outnumbered now. I'm the Capricorn between two Sag, heavy Sag. Okay. Well, moving right along then, I'm going to avoid us as hosts and go to the meat of the matter, which is our guests. And we are starting out today with Christine Ahrens and Faye Kosar. And Christine is a member of the Kepler Board of Trustees, and she's also on the AFA Board of Directors. She has been in astrology for, well, you surpassed Karen. You've been in, what, for 40 years?
40 years.
40 years.
Active.
Active, yes. And you currently are still active, not only with
yes.
Kepler, but with the AFA and the Friends of Astrology in Chicago. And Faye Kosar is with us as well from across the pond. And she was one of the first graduates from the Culture and Astronomy from BASPA, the program Nicholas Campion and Sophia Center set up that has now since shifted to the University of Wales Trinity St. David. And she has also studied with the Faculty of Astrological Studies and a number of different organizations in the astrological world. She has also broadened her education to include psychology and counseling studies with Bruno and Louise Huber, Jan de Graaf, and Tricia Catano. So welcome, both of you. And
thank you. Thank you. Hooray! It's so good to have you here.
It is a delight to have you here.
See, it's later in the day for folks like Faye than it is for Enid. So we're like perking Enid up with the caffeine.
Well, actually,
this is long time for us.
My caffeine is still to come. So anyway, so in choosing your moment, what would you like to choose as a moment to start? Actually, Christine, you were talking about that sort of accidentally on purpose, the election for this day-long process here is at 000 Aries.
Yes, ma'am. I looked at that and I thought, holy cow, that is the absolute perfect time to start a program on astrology.
It does seem to be that.
We did good.
We did good, and it certainly is got the Mars influence, I swear. Oh, we have a comment from the audience. I'm Persian, and our new year started right now in at 8:27:07 Tehran time, and the webinar is basically at the right at that time too.
Because Happy New Year!
Happy New Year
in Persia. That's awesome. You know, we have people from all over the world celebrating International Astrology Day. There are people in Europe. There are events in Greece. There are events in Brazil. So, hey, yes for Persia, too. This is fun.
So in terms of picking a time, do you, Christine or Faye, do you have any specific sort of things that you are looking at when you're choosing a moment that you prefer to do, or how do you like to work with that?
This is Christine, and I would say within my own clientele, electional astrology is probably one of the most significant areas that I practice. And when I look for a time for an event, one of the highest significantly important positions is going to be the moon, because you want the moon in a good aspect. There are other specific rules depending upon whether you're doing something medical, you're electing a time for a surgery, or if you're electing a time to open a business, or if you're electing a time for something like a wedding. These are all major events that you want to go well. And the moon is probably the most significant factor in choosing that electional chart time.
Faye, you're doing mostly therapy. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, can I say something here?
Certainly.
It's a bit difficult with two of us. I approach it actually quite differently, because one of the things that I'm really keen on, which I mentioned in the book that I wrote on vocational profiling, is that I'm a real astrologer that likes to do dialogue with people. So I always get the clients involved. I make sure that they take responsibility for any charts that we might pick. So for me, a session for electional very much depends on what the client's trying to do. So for instance, I've done a lot of weddings lately. I've done quite a few Chamber of Commerce, you know, where you're registering a company. And the sessions for, like, let's take the registering of a company, what I really want to do is I always start with the sun, because I think that's the heart of any enterprise or anything that you're trying to do. So I start with the sun, and usually people have a few months, you know, they say I want to get married this year, or that I want to get married within 6 months. So I always start with the sun and see which one fits the type of relationship they want to have. So I very much involve my clients with the decision making. And if it's a business, I look at what sort of reputation they want to have, what sort of image they'd like to have. And then I do the fine tuning with the moon and the ascendant later on, once we've got the sun sign right. Because even though it's sun sign, I still think it's really important for most things, particularly for weddings and well, for anything really. So I take a slightly different. I don't have any hard and fast rules really when I'm doing electional.
Well, it's as far as I look at it, when you're choosing a time for a wedding, you want a really good aspect between the sun and the moon, because the sun will represent the groom and the moon will represent the bride, and you want them to have a happy relationship in their marriage. So that becomes really the overriding factor. So long as you can get a good relationship between them, that marriage will be successful, and I have seen this happen. I've got a really funny story about one wedding that I selected a time for. The couple wanted to get married, I think it was in August, and the weekends were just terrible. So what I did is I told them, go talk to your minister and have a private ceremony. I think it was like on a Tuesday afternoon or something, but the time was good. And I didn't hear back for maybe 2 or 3 years. And when I did, it was I almost fell over laughing. Their minister was a Roman Catholic priest, and they thought, oh my goodness, you know, when they told him what they wanted to do, he asked them, why do you want to do this? And they said, because our astrologer told us this was a good time. And they waited for the heavens to part and the lightning to come crashing down. And the priest looked at them and said, do you realize the Pope never does anything without consulting his astrologers? And they almost fell over. And I did too. But that's a rather interesting comment to hear from someone that was an ordinary client. But it also shows you how pervasive the use of astrology is, even if it is not openly discussed.
Well, I have a question for both of you that I haven't had a chance to ask someone who does a lot of electional charts. Do you ever get feedback from the people that you have worked with to help them choose a time?
Yes, I
have. What are some of the stories they've told you?
Oh, here's another really interesting story. I had a doctor's wife who was a client, and she needed to have a minor hernia taken care of. And the aspects in general were just not really good. So I told her, you need to go in on this day, and you need to be first thing in the morning. Her husband was a doctor on the staff at the hospital. So, not a problem. She was scheduled first thing in the morning. Now, my concern was, as you got further towards noon, you started moving into some very difficult moon-Neptune aspects. Neptune rules sleep and sedation. And I advised her. I said, if you don't do it early, you're probably going to have a problem with the anesthesia from the surgery. Okay, here is what happened. The surgery was performed. The surgery was successful. However, when they took her to the recovery room, they could not get her to come out of the anesthesia, and they could not figure out why. Eventually, they figured it out, though. What they had done is they had given her skin patches to help sedate her, transdermal medication, and they forgot to remove one of them.
Oh, no.
So there is a perfect example of how astrology identified a potential problem that actually manifested. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, it was not, you know, critical, but what happened was the surgery suite was in use early in the morning, and they had an emergency, I don't know, a car accident or something, so she was not able to get her surgery until later, and that's why she had the problem. So yes, I have
wow.
had some feedback that is really incredible.
Wow. Faye?
I do different sorts of things. I haven't done very many medical electional times, where I think that's an easier thing to check what happened, and you know, because you're picking a specific thing that's going to happen on a specific day, and then you can see what happens. When you're doing things like selecting times for registering companies or weddings, it's difficult because you don't know, it takes a while before you work out. I mean, you can work out for a wedding whether it was a lovely day or whatever, mm-hmm. but for a long-term relationship, you don't really know what would have happened if they'd picked a different day. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to get feedback.
That's an excellent point.
You know what I mean? And also for businesses. The sessions I do with election are more like They're really, people think they're just coming to pick a date, you know, for launching something. But for example, for a wedding, I tend to look at, I think companies are easier because you've just got one entity to look at. So you often I'm just looking at somebody who's a freelancer who wants to register their business. So you've got, I usually look at their own chart and see what their calling is and what would go with that in terms of what they're doing now. But for a wedding, I tend to look at the composite chart because they're all, you know, people who are getting married are already in a relationship. So there's something working on the relationship. And I think, me, there's no hard and fast rules because for what works for one couple might not work for another couple. You know, some couples will really want, say, a scorpionic sort of relationship, and others will want a more Taurian sort of relationship or whatever. So I tend to try and match the dates and the times with what I think would work for the couple as a composite chart. So try and repeat themes that are in the chart to try and emphasise the good things about the relationship. So I'm coming at it from a slightly different aspect, I think, from a slightly different angle.
So do you find that when you're doing electionals, you really are helping clients clarify what they want from a certain circumstance?
Absolutely. To me, that's what it's all about. So, for instance, for accounting, people think they're just coming for a time, and what they get from me is a whole load of difficult questions saying, what is the mission of your company, and what do you want to do with your company? What sort of reputation do you want to have? What products do you want to have? You know, so I would then do it backwards from reading a company chart. I would do that backwards. So I would say, like, you know, I would start with, like, for instance, I've just had somebody who wants to go international and wants to work European-wide. And they're doing cloud-based systems, and they were about to register the company, and I said, no, you know, maybe you don't need to do it yet. And then we had a good talk about what they were trying to do, and a lot of it was about expansion and growing and getting bigger and conquering Europe, if you like. And it was in Sagittarius time, and they wanted to do it in the next few weeks. So it was a question of, do we want Capricorn or do we want Sag for the Sun? And to me, it was the whole thing they were talking about was Sagittarius. It was being bigger, it was cloud-based systems, it was international and all of these things. So we picked a date for that, and then we fine-tuned it with all the other things, with the Moon and the Sun and Moon and Venus for what products they wanted to do, if you can get that. I mean, you never get everything perfect because you're usually working on a time frame of a couple of months or a year or something. And sometimes you'll have a wonderful, you know, Sun and a nice Moon, but you'll have Mars retrograde like we have now, you know, in some sign that you don't want for whatever. So this is a compound.
I'd like to add one little thing here. When you're talking about establishing a time for a business, you want to have a strong second house. You want the business to make money. And one of the situations I had was a restaurant that wanted to open. And they were, of course, going to be dealing with the public, and so the time selected put the Moon in the second house because the Moon was making good aspects and it would make good money for them. Mm-hmm. That particular time was like 6:45 in the morning, which was not quite what they had expected. So what was recommended is they have somebody to pass out free coffee and flyers about the grand opening of the new business. This was perhaps 15 years ago. In the intervening years, they have expanded twice. They have grown and grown and grown. And I really think that Moon placement in the second house was a major factor in the time selected for opening the business officially.
Mm. Yeah, the time for me is the last thing you tweak. You know, where you want all the planets and which houses and what you want rising and the MC. You know,
is the last
thing that you tweak, you know, once you've got all the other planets kind of bright.
Well, you know, you're talking, Faye, about a company that wants to go international. I have another client who is based here in the States but is expanding into South America and was opening companies, I think, in Venezuela, Brazil, and Chile. And he came to me for a time to officially incorporate each of these independent entities. And one of the things that I took into consideration was the time of the founding of the parent company, because you want those companies to work well together.
Yes, yeah, so for the Sagittarian one, I did that as well. The other company that's their parent also has Sagistral. So, yeah, I also did that.
It sounds like when you're doing that with companies, it's almost like Faye was talking about trying to elect a time with couples or with, you know, her clients, where you complicate it by adding in these, well, now we've got a time, how well does it work for what you have going
well,
on originally?
Faye is absolutely correct. You need to look to the planet that is going to be most involved with that particular activity. I mean, for a surgery, you want good Mars, because the Mars would represent not only the surgeon, but the surgery itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a construction business, a good Mars and a good Saturn. So these sorts of things would come into play before you actually hone in on a day and an exact time.
So what about for weddings? What, that's a really common one, trying to get a good day for a wedding. What do you look for?
I usually try and match up with a composite chart, and I won't do an election without both parties being there. So you've often got three charts that you're looking at. But the composite chart to me is, you know, I ask questions like, why are you getting married? What do you want to achieve? You know, not really achieve, but what kind of relationship do you want to have? You know, what is important to you as a couple? And then, you know, usually couples will say, I want to get married within the next 5 months or something, you know. So then what I usually do is explain to them, that first of all, the five sun signs that you may have, and they, you know, you say, Taurus, and they go, oh, no, no, don't want a Taurus. No, my brother's a Taurus. Don't want a Taurus wedding. and then what happens is interesting. Usually in that process, I've just done one of these, and it's interesting in the process because actually what comes out is what's really going on in the relationship. So there was one I did recently where I thought Scorpio, there was a lot of Scorpio in the composite chart, and there was a lot of depth and intimacy and loyalty and passion. That was really important in the relationship, and I thought, well, that to me would work. It's, you know, a Scorpio type thing where the whole heart and soul of the relationship is depth and passion and trust and loyalty. And we talked about that, and they saw, you know, they'd heard about Scorpio, and they said, well, it sounds a bit, you know, we know bad things about Scorpio. So we talked a little bit about what the relationship was meant for them, and it's interesting what comes up and what fears and what they really, you know, often couples haven't talked about this. You know, it's amazing, but they often haven't. It's like couples counselling sometimes when you do.
do you ever have people come to you that have already chosen a few different dates and they're asking you to help pick one, and you have opinions based on what they have suggested?
I do. I mean, I've always been taught that you're not supposed to, you know, give opinions and say what you think because you're putting your own thing on it. But I actually do that. I think people want advice. And if I like it when they come with three separate dates. But I explain to them why, and then I let them choose. I say, well, this one's this and this one's got that. And which one do you think fits better, how you feel about it? So you have to give advice when I hear what they're trying to do, yes.
And do you ever notice that there is something revealing about the quality of the relationship by the dates they have brought you?
People sometimes, but it's usually more that people haven't really thought. You know, the thing about this, I think, is it puts energy on the fact that you're consciously choosing something. You're consciously choosing a date with some knowledge. You know, often, especially for weddings, people haven't thought about this. They don't even, you know, they don't think about the time of the year, or each day has a special sort of quality. So it sometimes does reveal it, yes. But often you find when people have picked dates, often you'll find that they're just convenient, or they were, you know, and sometimes that's fair enough. But sometimes one partner's picked them and the other one hasn't had any input into it. So that says already something about the relationship.
Well, we've been talking about weddings and businesses. I'm really curious about people who, we have so many C-sections these days where actual births are being planned. Have you ever worked with those cases?
Oh, C-section births are an absolute nightmare. I've had a couple of situations where the time that was recorded really was not the correct time of birth, and the life events actually played out not according to the birth time as given. The other issue is, of course, now we're moving into an era where C-section births are becoming the norm and not the unusual situation.
That's only in the U.S., I'm glad to hear, say.
Yeah,
more in the U.S. than other places. Yeah.
So do you find people, when they're having a scheduled C-section, try and see if they can actually schedule a time that would work for? Have you had any of that?
They usually don't. The doctor usually says, well, I have Thursday the 14th open, and and then they'll come to me and they'll say, oh, there's, you know, scheduled for this day and time. And I'd look at it and I'd go, oh, my goodness, this is not a good day or time. And I would, you know, try to advise them of other options within, you know, a week or two of that particular date. It's really a doctor issue more than it is anything else.
Sometimes here in Holland, I have had a couple of times, not for C-sections, but for medical things, where sometimes they say, I've got three choices of dates. Which one do you think would be the best? So I have had that situation.
So, and, Christine, you mentioned Mars on for like, you want a good Mars if you're going to have surgery. Is that kind of consistent regardless of the surgery? Are there other specific considerations?
Well, consider Mars rules knives, it rules blood. These are the sorts of things that you're dealing with in a surgery. It is an invasive procedure. And you do want to have, you know, if you want to have a successful procedure, you do want to have a well-aspected Mars, if at all possible. Of course, sometimes, you know, you have emergency situations where you have no choice. The time is now. But I always try to consider Mars whenever I'm looking at a surgery. But, you know, there are many other things that people can use their time, choosing their time for. Taking a trip. Is it a business trip? Is it a trip for pleasure? And some people will go and look at the airline schedule and figure, you know, the plane's going to leave. That is not the time your trip starts. The time it starts is the moment you close the door and take your first step out. You know, the Chinese say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And this is also true when you're looking at a trip chart. You want to choose a good time to begin that journey.
So, once again, we're getting a number of people asking about what planets you associate with some of these things. So if Mars for surgery, would weddings, you were saying, Faye, that you like to look at Venus. And I know I've heard Saturn is also having a good aspect of Saturn for longevity. Do you find that?
Yeah, I look at everything. It depends on who. Yeah, I look at it. It depends who I've got in front of me. You know, for some people, especially for weddings, I look at different planets. I mean, if the composite has got Venus on the MC or something in Libra, then obviously that's a planet I'll look at. But it depends on what they say, really, as to which planet I use. There are some basic ones. I agree with Christine, like for Mars, for surgery, and there are some basic ones. And Venus you would probably look at for the day. You know, Sun-Venus conjunct on a wedding day is obviously, you know, the spotlight on love is quite a good day to choose. There's basic, you know, there's basic sort of stuff because you want it for the day, you know. For a wedding.
Well, but, choosing a date for travel, I would want to look for a good Mercury and potentially a good Jupiter. for short distance or long distance travel.
Yeah.
And if you're traveling by airplane, maybe a good aspect to Uranus. So your trip is as least difficult as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Uranus, so I probably wouldn't worry about that too much because I think you could have an adventure. But, yeah, I mean, I tend to do trips differently because I tend to look at more if someone's, I have been asked this question recently. Somebody said, I'm going to go away for 3 months. Should I go now or should I go in April? And it was like a longer term, so I tended more to look at what was being triggered in their natal chart to say, because they're going to experience the transit anyway, you know, wherever they are. But if they've got Jupiter aspecting Venus, then it's probably going to be a fun trip, you know.
And so. Faye, you just said something that is very, very important, because we're not only looking at the time and the day. We want to compare it to the natal chart to see that there are good supporting aspects. It's all, that natal chart will always be the fundamental reference point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that actually ties into one of these questions that someone has asked, is that if you had a natal chart, like, for example, with a real challenge to your second house, how do you think the election helps, can it be a mitigator for, like, if you're starting a business?
Yes. And in some instances, you actually will want to choose a day and time that is good, but will offset some of the more difficult natal aspects the individual may have.
See, I have a problem with difficult and good aspects. I don't really like to think of them that way. I think that depending on how conscious you are, traditionally difficult aspects can also work in favour. So I tend to have a different philosophy when it comes to looking at
particular aspects. Perhaps a better word is challenging aspects, because some of those aspects will actually force you to do things you might not otherwise accomplish. Mm-hmm. They can be very helpful. And some of the best charts I have ever seen have been some that have a lot of these stress aspects in them. These are people who have gone on and accomplished things in their lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, people often look at my chart and think it's difficult, but that's not the way I experience it. So, you know, it depends very much on, that's why I think you have to talk to people to find out how they're experiencing their own chart. You know, two people born on the same day will experience it very differently, because you're coming in as different souls, I think, with different levels of consciousness.
Well,
so we're getting into interesting areas when you do that.
I think you do bring up a really good point, is how conscious are we of meeting the challengers or avoiding thinking about them or running away from them or any of the various ways we can handle a challenge.
Yeah.
Or sometimes doing things to make it worse.
There's an interesting question that's come in about for people who have gotten married or started a business or something else when they didn't know about astrology. Does that mean that they're locked into a difficult chart for life, or do you have suggestions on how to work with situations? How do you deal with those kinds of issues?
Well, I would look. Go ahead, Faye.
Christine, go ahead.
I would look at a marriage chart also as an evolutionary chart, in the sense that it will progress. So you're never going to be totally locked into those fundamental aspects, because every single month the moon is going to progress by 1 degree. So within, you know, several years, the general relationship will change. So you need to look at how is it going to change over time. Plus, of course, you will have changing transiting aspects as well, which can offset difficult aspects in that original chart.
So it isn't, as one person typed in, doomed.
No, it is not doomed.
Not unless the relationship was doomed anyway. I don't think the chart can help. Anyway, but I think, you know, there's always this, the universe also has its own intelligence, I think. I think the chart, it's more likely that the chart suits how you were then anyway, if you know what I mean. There's a good coincidence that the chart works anyway. It's about, it's about trying to use that chart more positively, if it's a marriage chart, finding out how it does work. And if there is troubles in it, how can you turn that around? Because every aspect to me has a positive way of working as well. So that's how I would work with that. And with companies, sometimes companies do start and then they go on to different products and go on to different things. And my advice then is to relaunch. You know, is to do some kind of ritual that relaunches the program, the company or the program or the product that fits better with what they're trying to do.
So have you found that successful, relaunches for businesses or even people who have a second marriage ceremony?
The reason I think it helps is that people tend to focus on what's important. You know, it brings a consciousness to the fact that you've got some, you know, it's like consciousness to some kind of ritual, that you're thinking about what you're doing and that you're putting some kind of attention on something that you want to do. So I think partly that's the reason it works. Yeah, because there's some kind of care being taken.
Clarifying
a particular day.
Clarifying and strengthening your intention.
Yeah, it's to do with that, I think. I think attention and what we think about and where we place our attention is very important. So I think that's why election law is quite difficult, I think, because as astrologers, we also have a role in it. You know, it's like quantum physics. You know, we're not out of the loop. We also, what we say makes a difference. So we're also part of the equation in the way when we're doing that. I think we need to be aware of how much of our own input is going into it. That's why I like to try and get people to take responsibility and know what they're choosing.
So, for example, if somebody was relaunching a business, you would want them to really think about through what exactly it is they want from that business, and that makes it then that much easier to choose what the electional chart will be.
Yeah, it makes my job much easier, yeah. Yeah, but it is an important, it's really important, because people often don't do that. You know, I do a lot of things for launching websites, and people think, oh, you know, because I do a lot of branding for people and for websites and companies. And people don't really think that much about what they want their image to be or how they want to come across or, you know, what is the heart and soul of the company? I mean, to me, a company has a sort of DNA, has a sort of soul. And people often don't, there's a lot of, in the current literature, there's a lot of things about that coming up now, about going back to the original intention of the original founders. You know, and people lose that. Once companies get bigger, people lose that. So it's a really good way of focusing back on what the original intention was with the company. And sometimes that works really well. I mean, to me, success is actually doing the horoscope positively. That's how I define success. Because then you're going with the cosmos.
So have you seen, either one of you, have you seen where like a company or even a redoing marriage vows, have you actually followed clients over time where you've seen how that's worked out for them? Do you find that working?
I would say in the marriages where I have helped select a date that I have seen, they have all been successful, not a single failure, which is really pretty incredible because I've done quite a few. And But you know, choosing a time goes beyond just choosing for a launch for a company or a website or for a surgery or what have you. You can choose a time to do almost any activity in life. And this is as simple as getting your hair cut. I mean, do you have a terrible permanent that you want to get rid of fast? Get your hair cut when the moon is in a cardinal sign. Your hair will grow faster. If you want your hair cut to stay, get your hair cut when the moon is in a fixed sign, and your hair will grow slower. This is part of what I take into consideration when I look at the lunar aspects for an electional chart for anything. But when it comes to doing major things like purchasing a car or a house, a lot of people don't even take electional into consideration. It's sort of like, you know, okay, this is what we're getting, and I'll sign the contract now so I can get it underway. And it really can make a difference. Holding off a couple of hours on signing a piece of paper can make a big difference in how that is going to work out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
When you're looking at the planets, do you pay attention to retrograde?
I do, in the sense that, you know, if you want to choose a time to redo something, a retrograde can be a very helpful planet. You know, some people get absolutely frightened to death. Mercury is retrograde. I can't talk to anybody. This is not the way to use the planet's energy. A retrograde Mercury, this is the time to catch up on old correspondence, to get in touch with people you haven't spoken to in a while, to go clean out your drawers or your closets or your garage. You can use a planet's energy to advantage no matter what way.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think all the retrogrades are not negative. I think for certain kinds of things like editing and things like that, if you're setting up a company that just does editing, Mercury retrograde would be perfect. So, you know, again, I think it's about tuning into to what the moment actually says. What is the moment saying? What would each particular moment be good for? And trying to attune to that. That's probably the way I'd look at it. Yeah, but I absolutely agree with Christine on retrogrades.
So yeah. Do you have occasions, like, for example, if someone is wanting to relocate somebody someplace, they feel they need to move, they want to go somewhere, they don't have any, like, they don't have a job there already, they don't have resources particularly, yeah. Is there a way to find charts to make sure that helps? Or, I mean, do you need to also look at the relocation plus the election?
I would too, yeah.
Because in fact, what you're proposing here, somebody, you know, they're out of work or whatever, and they want to go someplace where they think they'll have a better success. Mm-hmm. One of the things you would want to look at would be their astrocartography. Mm-hmm. Where are their best planets going to have lines where they have the potential to maximize that planetary energy? The other thing I would look at, particularly for relocational, is planets moving across the IC into the fourth house, mm-hmm. opposing the MC. Yep. And I had another interesting situation where I looked at a woman's chart and I told her she was going to be moving. And the response was basically, oh, no. I have lived here in this apartment for 20 years. I'm on really good terms with my landlord, blah, blah, blah. Okay. The landlord sold the apartment building, and the apartment building went condo. She moved. And she came back to me a year later and just was astounded that after so many years, she was in a situation where she had to relocate her life. So that's another thing I would look at. If they have some type of significant aspect or planet moving into the fourth house, or if not, if they have no planets in the fourth, then I would look to the planet that rules the sign on the fourth cusp. Does that have significant aspects? Because that could also potentially indicate a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people who ask that sort of question are not really looking to say, give me a time to do that. You know, it's not really an electional question often. It's mm-hmm. more about, should I go to Portugal, or should I go to France, or should I go to America, or should I go back to South Africa? I get a lot of these. So then I would absolutely do the relocation chart and do the astrocartography.
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
I then also look at, I do look at transits, as you're suggesting, Christine, but what I also do is look at transits of the relocated chart to see if there's anything going on with major planets over the MC or over the, you know, over the ascendant or anything. Because that's the thing that changes. I mean, they're going to have transits to the planets anyway, that you can't get out of those. You know, wherever you are in the world, you can't get out of. If you've got Uranus on your sun, you've got that everywhere. But what you can do is select the house you're going to experience it in. So I would look at the transits and where they fall in the relocated chart, if you see what I mean.
I do understand what you're saying there. I do look at relocation charts, and I do give them considerable, you know, credibility. But when it comes down to it, fundamentally, your natal chart is your natal chart, and you will carry that with you no matter where you move in the world.
Absolutely, I agree. Can't get out of it.
So sometimes that I want to move somewhere and do a fresh start just means you take your old stuff with you.
That's right.
Well, it does, but I've got some good examples of that, though, because sometimes if like I had a client who's in her natal chart, I can't remember exactly, she's a healer, and she's got Mars Mercury square, so she has very hot hands, and it was in the sixth house of health, so she was a healer. And she moved and did some study in India, and and where she went to do the study, the Mars was right on the MC. So she had the same, you know, she's got still got the same aspect, but that very much brought that aspect into focus. And she found it very difficult because what happened was she was promoted. So there were a lot of people very angry with her for being promoted into that school. So the Mars on the MC was showing up for her as competition in that particular place. So what it actually did for her was it developed the way she used the Mercury Mars in her own life. So when she came back, and it went, you know, and in the natal chart it was not so prominent, she went through quite a lot of discussion with her brother, who she realised when she was in India she'd had a lot of competition with him. So it brought up a lot of interesting stuff for her to work with when she got back. So relocation, I think, is very interesting because it does focus things in a different area of your life often, but that's different from electional. Although you could choose to go and do that if you wanted to, you could choose to go and, you know, work with some aspect where it's right on the MC or the ascendant or something, and then certainly you're going to work with it.
Well, it does sound like you could combine your electional with relocation to get the best chance to do what you're hoping to whenever the new place is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing that I have run across is people who are absolutely don't want to do anything under a void of course moon.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me is kind of a mixed blessing, because if you're in a situation and you're not particularly happy with what's going on, deal with it with a void of course moon and nothing will come of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you can use these times to your advantage as an astrologer if you know how.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds in some ways also knowing kind of basic horary would mix very well with election from what you're describing on a lot of these cases. So both asking a question as to what's really going on from the horary plus picking the time. Or do you find that's not really true? They're very distinct.
In Dutch, they're actually called the same thing. So, there is a lot of similarity, I think, in the way you look at it. Yeah. I mean,
and as far as I'm concerned, horary and electional are like two sides of the same coin, because your moment in time is tied to the cosmic clock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you choose a good moment in time, or is this moment in time when the issue becomes a big question to you? You can look at it from two different perspectives, but the issue really is, what is the moment in time?
Well, isn't it?
Yeah, one is more about what's going to happen. You know, horror is usually about what's going to happen. And an election law is to me more about what would you like to happen.
Good way of putting it.
Yeah. But also thinking about it, it's really more than just that moment of time. It's how that moment of time interacts with you personally.
Yeah, yes. And your own consciousness. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a great believer in co-creation. I think we co-create with the planets. I think what we say and what we think and what we do affects the planets and vice versa. So, to me, I'm always going on about, you know, what astrologers say about Uranus. If we all say that Uranus is terrible and accident prone, and which is, it used to be like that, it's not anymore, then that goes into some kind of field where we're creating that. I think we're creating we create meaning all the time. So there's a co-creation principle going on, I think, as well, which is relevant for, yeah, it makes it really difficult to pick a time.
Well,
but to me, it is about reading the cosmos. It is about, what does this moment really mean for somebody?
Well, I've been thinking about that Grand Cross, that it seems like every other person is going, oh, I'm not doing anything for the next 2 months. You know?
yeah, but I mean, to me, I would ask, how can we use it? Because it's a fantastic energy if we can use it. There's a lot of good things happening with it as well.
A lot of power in that cross.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's, to me, it's about the world-changing consciousness to say, oh, God, you know, whatever. And how can we make use of that? I mean, Uranus and Aries is fantastic. It's times when we have wonderful breakthroughs and all sorts of things and all sorts of technology, and, you know, and that is happening. And how can we make that concrete with the Pluto and Capricorn?
Well, that's a great idea to end up this hour, because it's flown by already. You guys are so fascinating. There's so many people who are, you know, resisting starting anything new because the aspects over the next month are very square.
Challenging.
Challenging.
Oh, I'm always encouraging people to get on board and change it. Go for it now.
what would you say were some ideal positive uses if someone were starting something over the next couple months? What would you suggest?
Be prepared to work hard, to have to overcome obstacles in everything you do, but actually that overcoming the problems can be a learning experience in the process. Remember, a grand cross is actually a set of four squares and two oppositions. The key to working with it will be to maintain the oppositions, balance, and harmony.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, to me, it's just making, being creative with the combination of the four things. You know, what's the best possible way that Uranus and Aries can work? Because that's about, to me, that's about be brave. And if you want to change something, just do it. You know, that's what's happening for the rebelliousness. But there's other breakthroughs that you can make with that. And for instance, Pluto in Capricorn, it has a lot of power as well. So that's about, to me, that means take responsibility for the power you have and use that to break through and be honest. I write a monthly newsletter where I put a lot of, it's free as well, but I'm sure they can find it on the web, but a lot of the way I write is about how can we use these sorts of things, because there's always a positive working out of them, way they can use them. But it does mean you have to hold your nerve at the moment, I think.
But, you know, that Uranus, the power of that Uranus can give you creative new ideas about
absolutely.
How to deal with situations as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do have, you know, we are on it. It is a major consciousness shift, I think. I do really think that. So I think we do have to be brave at the moment. It is challenging, but it's also a huge opportunity if we dare to use it, I think.
And that's what we need to make sure we do, is we actually do something. Don't just sit on the sidelines and wait for everything to pass, because in the process of doing, you will accomplish more.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think as astrologers, one of my main sort of mantras is that astrologers have to stop frightening people. You know, we have to encourage people I think I have an issue with people who look at a chart and say, oh my God, a Pluto transit. You know, we're one of the few people, you know, astrologers are some of the few people who actually know how Pluto can work well. So to me, we should be encouraging our clients to try and do that. That's my soapbox rant.
Well, it's certainly a better attitude than the I'm going to go hide under a pillow for a month.
Yeah, well, you know, that really doesn't help anybody, I don't.
Well, and there's always something that you can do, you know, during the time. If this is a breakthrough time, then find the places in your life where you need a breakthrough, right?
Well, absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. And be brave about it, because you're going to have to change. The problem is you can't hold on anymore. You can't hold on to things that don't work anymore. You know, look at what's happening to all the people in power. So I'm just looking at some of the things I wrote. I wrote transforming mission. You know, for Pluto and Capricorn, I've put transform your mission. You know, going black and white with what goals that you want to do. For Uranus and Aries, I've said pioneering innovation, being bravely authentic, starting a new era of consciousness. For Mars and Libra, I've said fighting for peace. you know, there's all kinds of ways that square can work really well.
And we talk about electional charts as weddings, businesses, big deals. But, you know, sometimes if your garage needs cleaning and you can't seem to get it done, maybe this is a good time for an electional to dedicate yourself to getting something out of your life that really needs to be gone.
Hey, we're Aries. You know, it's spring cleaning time anyway. It was Lord of Aries. Good time to clean the garage.
Well, you know, we are almost done for this hour. Is there anything that you would like to say before we go and say goodbye?
Well, we have covered a lot of ground here. And basically, anything you do in life, you can choose a time to maximize its success or minimize its problems.
Okay,
find the right planet to work with.
and we do have somebody talking about astrological remediation later on today.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, no, I don't think I need to add anything. I mean, I had a few topics written down that I thought might be interesting for electional, but I think we've actually touched on most of them. So thanks very much for inviting me. It was fun and it was an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
So
and it was great to
talk. It was indeed. Thank you as well.
Yes, and let us know, how can people contact you or reach you, find you? Do they just need to look on the internet with your name and the word astrologer, or do you have a website?
Yeah, I mean, I'm everywhere, all over the place. I'm on Facebook. I've got four different websites. But if you want my free newsletter, it's on my company site, and that's www.juxtaposition.nl for the Netherlands.
Okay.
So, but that's also, if you look me up on Facebook, you'll find my juxtaposition page. And then there's a free, I call it the monthly planet, there's a free e-zine that I do every month. The Pisces one is just out. That's about, that will power as the drug. It's about Putin. So, yeah, that's free. And as I say, you can reach me through any of my emails or any of my Facebook pages.
And as for reaching me, you can Google my name and astrologer, and I'm all over the place too. But probably the most direct way would be to contact me through the friendsofastrology.org. I am president of the organization and have been for some 20 years now, and that's how most people do get a hold of me.
And
I believe all my information is there.
I was also going to say, if any of our speakers, if people can't remember how to get a hold, you can always email info@Kepler, and we can forward your message on.
So, excellent.
Thank you.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep. Yep. We are ready to move on to our next speaker.
I got a bell for that. I can go get it.
Except that what happened to Nicholas? He was on
here. He's here.
He's here. It just, I just saw him as offline. I hope he is not offline.
Let me go back in the attendees and see if I can
find Okay. Well, Faye and Christine, we are now going to shift over to our next
guys.
Hour.
Thank
brilliant. You so much. And you are certainly welcome to hang around if you want to stay a little later and listen to what's coming up, or even add your own questions in.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That was fun.
Thank you.